The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are live in studio, sort of, in some ways, continuing with the way we do things every single Sunday, answering your questions about how you try and apply for natural health. And I'm filling in. I'm Dr. Stephanie Pina, licensed naturopath and acupuncturist. And filling in for Dr. Rozell, I guess we let him go have a nice little break on the beach with his family and get to relax a little bit before he gets back at work for the end of the year, and we have to deal with some of the stuff that we've been dealing with over and over. But we are here to give you information as always, and I couldn't do it without a great group of co-hosts and lecturers, and one of them happens to be with me today, and he's going to be your lecturer for the webinar that is free this Wednesday, December the 2nd, and it's none other than Dr. Jared Cowart. How are you doing, Dr. Cowart?
We are doing well on this kind of chilly Sunday morning, so good to be back.
It will warm up. People will be able to listen to the radio show and get some good information and sign up for your class. And then they'll get outside and hopefully they won't like do anything that they're going to be calling you up right away and being like, okay, I definitely have an issue. So the good thing is we're going to be covering stuff that we see a lot in the office, that Dr. Cowart definitely sees a lot in the office too. And the topic is actually going to be neck and shoulder pain. And as we're answering some of these questions about what we see and some of the common things that we get asked by patients in the public about neck and shoulder pain, feel free to give us a call at the radio station. We will take your calls. The number you want to call is 888-630-9625. Again, that's 888-630-9625. So Dr. Cowart, neck and shoulder pain is something we see quite frequently, and what we're going to get into today, tell me, how common is it and why are so many people coming in with neck and shoulder pain?
Yeah, so it's extremely prevalent. You know, there's been some studies that that has happened like early 2000s, late 2000s, and then currently, and as you can imagine, especially this year, a lot of data has been kind of skewed and being more popular since a lot more people are working from home. They say about 70-75% of the population will experience some sort of like neck pain. And then about 50% of those will actually be chronic every year. So that is huge. And, you know, a fun fact is that neck pain is considered the second most common reason why someone seeks out a chiropractor specifically, you know, secondly to back pain. So it's definitely something that we're seeing quite often. And then, you know, with the shoulder pain, you got about, you know, roughly 15 to 20% of the population experiencing shoulder pain. And then about a quarter of those are going to be, you know, recurring over and over again. And then about 50% of them, you know, it never actually goes away and it's more persistent. So this is definitely a very common thing that a lot of people are experiencing. And not to mention, this is just reported data. Everyone knows those people that are, who have these kind of complaints, but it'll go away. So I would expect these numbers to actually be quite higher.
So you bring up a good point too, is some people don't think much about when they do have a neck pain, or, you know, they kind of tweak their shoulder a little bit and they don't necessarily have it checked out and they kind of keep on their way. When we talk about the chronic people, but also the people who come in, they do come in right away saying, I don't feel very good. I know I had to go in once because I slept the wrong way and my neck did not want to move. And I was like, right, I need to get treatment now.
Right.
But when we think about that, what makes the neck and the shoulder so common of an area that people come in often? Is it different than, say, the low back or like the hip joints that we have people coming in more frequently to get even like little changes done?
Yeah. So I guess you're talking about more so more recently.
It could be. I mean, certainly as you bring up, like, we've got, you know, tech neck and shoulder wrist, and I think it's mouth wrist and all this other stuff. But
yeah, I mean, there's also selfie elbow. That's another one. Tech thumb. Oh, yes. The technology related injuries is very prevalent. Obviously, we're in a tech environment nowadays.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things, and, you know, one of the things I had mentioned of more recently, you know, kind of early 2000s, there was a huge ergonomic shift within workplace. You know, everyone became a lot more ergonomic sensitive and conscious. So a lot of employers were dedicating a lot of funds and all that to make sure that the staff members, the employees, had good work ergonomics at work, so that way they can continue to be productive and healthy in the work environment, so that way they can keep working. Well, now COVID hit, everyone's working at home. No one's got proper work ergonomics. I can't tell you how many times that people have come in to see me just this year alone and say, yeah, I've never had this before. Well, what's been new? I'm working from home. It's literally the exact same story every single time. So if you don't have that proper work ergonomics where you're like looking at the monitor at eye level, all of your like hips and knees and elbows and shoulders are at like that perfect 90-90 as everyone talks about, you're going to start getting that anterior head carriage, the neck pains, and then that goes into the shoulder pains because they are interrelated. And I'm sure we'll touch on that briefly as well. So it's definitely happening.
Right. So that 60-pound head of ours that we have that doesn't even take in the gravitational pull of us pulling ourselves forward, you know, it starts to create some really big issues all within a very small area when you think about it, between the neck and the shoulder. There's not a lot of room for stuff to happen in. So a lot of compact things. And of course, we know that the nerves that are coming out of, say, the cervical vertebrae, not only going into the shoulder, but that has a lot to do with function a lot lower into our torso and body as well, too, right?
Absolutely. So the way people's neurology works is kind of the above down principle. So anything that comes straight out of the cranium and the skull then eventually exits out and goes into the rest of the spine and spinal column. Obviously, it all starts in that cervical spine, that neck, which in turn the nerves from those areas branch off into the shoulder, then the arm, then the hands and fingers. But then going lower than the neck, it goes into the thoracic spine. That's your rib cage area. And then into that lumbar spine, that low back area, and then to the hip pelvis sacrum, and then eventually down to the legs and feet. So any kind of issue you have within the neck will eventually go into the shoulders and hands and everything in between, but will also eventually can have an issue lower downstream going as far down as possibly the toes.
Right. So, and then affecting organ systems as well, too, as we think about how, you know, everything from breathing apparatus all the way down to digestion and everything in between, and even digestion from the top where the neck and the jaw are kind of meeting, and whether or not there might be referral TMJ pain. So a lot of different things kind of all in a very small amount of area from there.
Yeah, because with the neck being so close to higher functioning neurological centers like the brain, the cerebellum, the brainstem, all that stuff, any kind of issue in just that small little area can have a huge, profound, and multifactorial effect on the entire body. And that's, you know, the kind of importance of what we do in our office is that you can't just look at someone's neck and say, okay, here's what's going on. Because they can also be having other complaints because you are more than just one part of your body. And then that would be the important part is how much of this is all interrelated and kind of the same problem.
So we'll definitely get into, I think, in the second part, that kind of idea that where the nerves are kind of coming from one area and referral pain from the other, because I think that's something interesting to follow up with, and how we talk about myofascial pain as well, too, and how that, you know, it's not something that we see often, and you can't necessarily see those connective tissues, say, on an x-ray or imaging. Mm-hmm. So do we see shoulder issues when we do an x-ray, or can we visualize neck pain the way we would think, oh, I think I broke my wrist and or my foot or my ankle, and oh, let me go get the x-ray of that. Can we see these pain differences?
Sometimes. It depends on what is the source of the pain, and it also depends on the eyes that are looking at the images. You know, as chiropractors, we are trained to see the subtle differences. We, you know, the buzz term that we use is subluxation. Sub meaning small, luxation meaning dislocation or misalignment. So those small misalignments, those small dislocations, whether it be in the vertebra within the spine or further downstream within the whole shoulder girdle, because there's many different joints in that area. And then, of course, further downstream within the arm and the hands, you know, we can see those small misalignments. So that could be part of the pain pattern. But sometimes the pain patterns is like what you're saying, muscular based, could be tendon based, could be other types of connective tissue, ligaments or whatever, that sometimes just a pure x-ray will not detect. And so sometimes it may require further imaging like CT or MRI. Sometimes it's thermography if you're looking for true like inflammation pain patterns, but you know, that's a different lecture for another practitioner. But there's imaging that can kind of differentiate, but sometimes you just can't, and it's all going to be history gathering and clinical findings to correlate it all together.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point of getting the backstory of everything, because some of that, the injuries and stuff that we are currently seeing people come in with, not only does it have to do with maybe the differences in their posture from working at home now, but we have a lot of people that come in who maybe they were super athletes as kids and then their youth, and now they're trying to be that super athlete, or they did something really basic, but there was issues that were done then that now catch up to them because they're not as mobile as them. They're not as hydrated as they were before. They're not being as active, and that never got a chance to really repair properly as well.
Yeah, if I may, just real quickly, you say the word hydrate. I just want to make this a PSA. If you're not currently drinking water right now, go drink water right now. I see Dr. Pina taking a swig of water right now. Makes me super happy. That is one of the biggest things I tell every patient, no matter why they come in, whether it be neck pain, shoulder pain, your big toe hurts, you got constipation, anything for any reason, go drink more water. It can only do you good. Anyways, that's my PSA for today.
I'll add to that. I always tell my patients in the office too, is that we're in these transitional seasons right now where it's not super hot in the summer when we think about drinking water. Mm-hmm. It's not, we don't have the super dry heat of the January, February time where we see skin getting dry and we feel dry, mm-hmm. because of, we may not be humidifying the room. So it's a tough time because people go, I'm not thirsty. I feel fine. I don't need to do this. But we don't think about why we're using that water. We're not just flushing through the body, but yep. It needs to go to some of these issues in this connective tissue and to help with healing functions as well, too.
Absolutely. I mean, you may touch on this later in the program, but with that, we can go ahead and talk about disc degeneration in the neck that affects the shoulder. I mean, one of the best things you can do to help further prevent disc degeneration is hydrate your disc. You're only as good as the amount of water you drank the day before, because your body will use that water for main vital survival functions. And then after that, it goes to all the other things it needs, like hydrating the disc and things of that nature. So if you're getting little to no water, it's going to just conserve all that just for main vital things to keep you alive. And then you're not getting enough water for everything else. That's when you start getting those discs to break down, losing the disc height, you get the degeneration. Then you get that old classic term, pinched nerve, like bone on nerve, where it's like a dam shutting off the river to your nervous system. Yeah. Bada bing, bada boom, you've got shoulder pain coming out of the neck.
We're going to be right back in just a moment. We're talking neck and shoulder pain with Dr. Coward on Dr. Rizal Live. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We are talking about neck and shoulder pain, and I am in the office, studio, however you want to put it, on the radio show with Dr. Jerry Cowart. He's a chiropractor and applied kinesiologist at the Rizal Center for Healing, and he's going to be your presenter tonight on Wednesday night, December the 2nd, as a recorded webinar. And if you are interested in this, and really, if you think about it, I don't think of anyone who hasn't had some kind of neck or shoulder pain issues. And this is definitely much more of an issue now with us being at home and our normal lifestyle is a little bit off from what it used to be. We're not as active. This is going to be an excellent one to listen to. So there's a couple different ways we're going to have you register. You can call the office at 703-698-7117. Again, that's 703-698-7117. 698-7117 and tell them you want to register for Dr. Coward's lecture on neck and shoulder pain for this Wednesday. Or you can go onto the website, rosellecare.com. So it's rosellecare.com. About halfway down the page, you'll see not only this radio show posted in a couple of days, but then you'll also see a place where it says neck and shoulder pain. Click to register. They'll get some basic information from you, and then they will send you the lecture. And you'll be able to, you'll have a great contact information in case you have any questions afterwards. And then also you'll have some great ways to get a hold of anyone at the office. And some of the previous recorded webinars are also located there too. So a lot of great information as well as where to register for this lecture as well. Dr. Coward, when we think about the neck and the shoulder, you know, I always think of, you know, tight muscles and kind of where we're rubbing our shoulders down to kind of get everything else. One of the things I think that's interesting is you have a lot of connection between one muscle that may start in the neck or in the, and then go end up in the shoulder and vice versa. So structurally, they're kind of built into each other to create issues. Like they're there to support each other, but then they're also there to make kind of havoc happen too.
Right. Yeah. So when we're looking at the relationship between the neck and the shoulder, I mean, obviously we did kind of briefly touch on it before the last break of the nerves that come out of the neck form together into what's called the brachial plexus, brachial basically meaning arm. And so that whole collective and net, if you will, of nerves exit out of the cervical spine, conglomerate together, and then go down into the shoulder, the arm, and then, you know, the rest into the forearm and hand. So that in of itself already has that built-in relationship between the neck and the shoulder. But then you also have muscles like the what's called the levator scapula muscle. That muscle literally attaches from the vertebra of the cervical spine, the neck, and attaches onto your scapula, your shoulder blade bone, if you will. And so that muscle alone gets unfortunately overlooked a lot, but has the inherent relationship between the two. Then you also have like your upper trapezius muscle that attaches literally from the skull, the base of the skull into the kind of outer portion of your shoulder. So there's another muscle that attaches the two anatomical structures together. There's a whole other plethora of other muscles that come from and to other parts of the body into the shoulder. So unfortunately, when you're looking at shoulder issues, you kind of have to look at the entire body, but definitely that relationship between the neck and the shoulder is huge and very profound.
So often I think you see this, and there's a number of different orthopedic exams that kind of do this when we're evaluating, say, neck pain versus shoulder pain, or where someone's pain in that area or that region, I should say, comes from. Is you might see them using, say, their neck to compensate one way or the other if they have a shoulder issue or if they can't raise their arm up, like a rotator cuff issue. All of a sudden, they might be kind of almost twisting their whole body to, like, raise their arm, going, I don't have a shoulder pain, but they don't realize how much they're kind of using some of these other muscles to help compensate over time, which is going to lead to other issues as well, too.
Right. I mean, the shoulder has some complex movements. I mean, it has its basic, you know, forward flexion, that's raising the arm in front of you, the extension where you're kind of reaching behind you, internal, external rotation where it's kind of rotating because you have that kind of ball and socket type joint within the shoulder. There's a lot of different motions there, but because the shoulder is so complex and as humans we're upright, so we're using our arms way more complexity than what like a four-legged creature would, so to speak. A lot of muscles have synergistic muscles, muscles that also do similar actions to help other things. So when you have certain muscles that just aren't firing properly, that are either locked down or super tight or just not working properly or inhibited, then you start having all these other muscles to start kind of recoup and to help. But then with that, you also have other muscles that try to fight against it because their natural antagonist muscles were like, well, if that guy's operating, I need to be operating opposite. Then you just have like this whole kind of mess, if you will, within that shoulder.
Right. And we see this in acupuncture as well, too, where there's a number of the meridians that go up from, say, the arm or from the head that have to pass through that region of the neck and also into the shoulders that might go all the way down to the feet, like the gallbladder meridian.
Right.
But essentially, it's kind of interesting to kind of see you have to look at the whole region to see not only where's that pain coming from, but what might be causing it and what might be having an issue, you know, further on down the line. Is it coming from above or below, like you were saying? We're going to go to the middle of the break. The show is going very fast with Dr. Zell out of town, so I think we're just going to have to keep taking over. We're talking about neck and shoulder pain with Dr. Jerry Coward, who's going to be your presenter this Wednesday. Don't forget to register, and we'll be back in just a couple moments to keep this conversation going.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are talking about neck and shoulder pain, a very important topic here in 2020 that most of us have some kind of experience with if we weren't experiencing it before. And this is going to be the lecture that Dr. Jerry Coward is going to be doing this Wednesday night as a webinar on December 2nd. If you need to call and register, or you need to register, you definitely need to register. You can do it a couple different ways. Call the office at 603-781-2288. That's not the number. 603-698-7117. And if you have a question for us here during the office, during the call show, you can give us a call at 888-630-9625. Again, that's the radio show is 888-630-9625. And speaking of which, we have a caller. Ingrid, thank you for waiting. How can we help you?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I had, in October, I had a pain in my left foot. It was hard to walk on it. And so I saw a podiatrist in Alexandria. And he removed, after the x-rays, removed a tiny piece of glass, which I had stepped in somewhere, I don't know. But then after that healed, he said, I have peripheral neuropathy, and he has to give me labor, a treatment, and I need to buy bigger diabetic shoes, and all of a sudden, I'm a very sick person. I don't understand.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Well, I think it brings up an interesting point that we have one type of injury. It sounds like this stepping on the piece of the glass that might have kind of triggered the nerve sensation that, you know, when you look a little bit further, you might kind of wonder why the body is so good at, you know, basically protecting ourselves. Why would that trigger? So I'm wondering if not only did the injury cause an issue, but also if he thinks that your nerves weren't picking up sensations. And sometimes that can be typically part of peripheral neuropathy, but it could also be, as he's probably bringing up, it can be part of diabetic neuropathy. A number of different things can cause neuropathy issues. So we don't register sensations or heat or pressure on our extremities, but especially our feet as well as we could. So that's interesting. It sounds like other than kind of wound care management, he was basically kind of starting to support the foot and kind of make sure that there was more protection on there. Dr. Coward,
what can I do?
Yep, we're going to get into that right now. Dr. Coward, what's your thought of it and where do we go from here?
Yeah, so it sounds like you kind of touched on it a little bit of the glass in the foot kind of was like a catalyst, like a neurological catalyst with that. When you have the damage, your brain will start to kind of, for lack of better words, remember the injury, even though it may have physically healed. Neurologically, it still holds on to the injury. So with that, I think part of a good treatment plan would be actually doing neurological rehabbing for the foot. But definitely, I would say reach out to the office, you know, because there's a lot more information that we would need to really be able to give better guidance for that. And then I can be able to try to help you further with that for sure.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that, like Dr. Kaut was saying, is, you know, there may be other issues on there, and this is a great time to look to see if there is anything further. Even looking at labs, even though you might be very healthy, is kind of saying, is there anything else that we need to be concerned at, that the nerves aren't functioning the way that they could? And so this injury is kind of like a red flag to kind of go in and see if there's any kind of preventative measures. And I think where he was mentioning probably the bigger shoe is basically to kind of give the foot some more room to heal and stuff too. There may be swelling there from the injury. The lymphatics may not be circulating as well. So while he's treating pain management wise, there's definitely more natural things we can kind of look at and making sure that everything functions. So it sounds like you're on the right track. But essentially, thank you for calling in. It gives us a good idea of when one smaller issue starts to lead to other ones. But we have people that come in and they want to look at things preventatively too, you know, so they have something that happens and they're just going, I'm questioning, you know, what can I do on my own and where do I go from here? And obviously on the foot, which is on the other end of the neck and shoulder that we're talking about, you know, it's just as active. We put all of our weight on the foot. And so it becomes a very difficult place to kind of have even a small injury. So would you say the same thing too, that you see a lot of people that come in for neck and shoulder issues, that it might be something very small, but all of a sudden they start noticing, okay, now they're saying, oh, if there's a tear or there's a nerve impingement or chronic muscle neck strain. Do we see a lot of that kind of coming in and have to kind of give patients, you know, things to work on their own as well as in the office?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We definitely, we see a lot of this and that kind of diagnosis, if you will, so to speak. So one of the big things that I tell my patients is that I am just as much involved and as a partner in their healthcare as they are, because at the end of the day, it's their body that we're trying to heal. So not only am I going to be doing what I do best to help them, but I'm also going to be giving them things at home to also be doing, whether it be a stretching exercise or a strengthening exercise, or maybe some sort of dietary modification if there's like inflammation involved. But there's definitely at home things that I would be having them do, because at the end of the day, we want them to be, you know, pain free. We want them to be able to function better, so that way they can get back to the lives that they're trying to live, whether it be playing with their kids or going back to work or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Now, we see this a lot with, I would think, with neck and shoulder issues, because there is a lot of terminology and different diagnoses that are related to that area too, that are, you know, either thrown out or people have them for a while. So we think of maybe someone gets into a car accident and all of a sudden they're talking about whiplash injuries, or we're certainly looking for that, or a pinched nerve, or as you go into shoulder, rotator cuff issues or frozen shoulder, you know, things that may pop up out of nowhere, but typically something's been going on for a while and then they just either haven't been getting better or they progressively worse. You know, where do we start with a patient like that, where they've maybe gone and see like an orthopedist, and, you know, they possibly did x-rays and images, and but they're just not going anywhere? What do we add to the flavor? What do we try to, you know, examine and get more information out of them so we can come up with a treatment plan for them?
Yeah, unfortunately, stuff like that you mentioned, like the automobile accident, the whiplash, stuff like that, unfortunately, it was kind of like the final straw that broke the camel's back. Because like you said, some of these processes doesn't happen overnight, such as degeneration being probably the biggest and most well-known, or that quote-unquote arthritis that everyone talks about. You know, I've had a patient recently that actually came in for automobile accident. But upon evaluating and looking at x-rays, there was actually degeneration that happened way before that. So it actually kind of made that issue way worse than what it probably would have been without the degeneration. So unfortunately, you kind of have to look at it and say, okay, so this is where the patient's at. However, this is where the patient really has been for a while. And you kind of have to start there. And you're kind of working from kind of both ends inward sometimes, because you have to fix what the real true root cause was from the very beginning. But then you're also kind of have to look at it from the acute standpoint, because obviously you want to get them out of pain, because that's why they came in to see you to begin with. So you're kind of going both ends in the treatment.
Right. Now, we were talking over the break about something that I guess you got a call on last minute, and it just happened to be something that you looked a little bit deeper into, is thoracic outlet syndrome. And not exactly everybody's, you know, oh, I think of this all the time, but things I think is interesting is there's, you have done a little bit more research on. Tell me a little bit more of what you kind of found out about that and what to look for that.
Yeah, so you kind of broke out. I think I understand the question some. So basically TOS stands for thoracic outlet syndrome. So the thoracic being like your thoracic cage where all your rib cages are, the outlet is basically the top of your thoracic cavity, basically where your shoulder, thoracic cage or rib cage and bottom of the neck kind of combine together and form this opening. So you actually have a conglomerate of muscles in the area that can get tight or constricted. You also have a lot of vascular, so veins and arteries that come out from the neck down into that area. And then also we briefly talked about that brachial plexus, that whole net of nerves that come from the spine that go down into the shoulder and arm. They all exit through that whole thoracic outlet area. So anytime you have that text neck that we talked about, that can cause a lot of the tight musculature and with that anterior or that forward head translation or head carriage, that can cause the pain either like in the neck or in the shoulders, or can cause that numbness or tingling going down the shoulders and into the arms. And then, you know, there's also sometimes some one of those weird abnormal stuff where you have like extra parts in your body where you have like an extra rib that can be doing it. Or some sort of, in very small cases, it was like two reported cases, which I like the little weird random stuff. But, you know, a possible aneurysm kind of could do it. But again, only like two cases have been reported of that. So there's a lot of things within that area that can be affecting with TOS. So, you know, we talked about, you know, the thoracic outlet syndrome. You know, there's a lot of other conditions that are really popular that we see all the time within the shoulder. So you've got, you know, that frozen shoulder. That's the, it doesn't want to lift. Maybe you can get it to like parallel with the floor, but it just doesn't want to go up any higher. So those, so that's those people who have a problem reaching up into their cabinet or, you know, lifting up their baby when they're trying to play. And so you have different inflammatory processes that cause, you know, that hot, fiery sensation. Or you've got different muscles that aren't firing properly that in turn constrict other muscles that just make it so you just can't lift those that arm and affects the shoulder as well. So that's another popular type of shoulder issue that we see very commonly. And sometimes, again, it comes from the neck, and that's what ultimately ends up causing many of these shoulder complaints as well. Dr. Pina?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there
all
you
right, go. There we go. So that's all the great things you're going to be trying to cover a little bit in more detail during your lecture on the webinar on this Wednesday night. So obviously have a lot of great information to add in with neck and shoulder issues after based off of your research that you did in school too. And, you know, a lot of the times when we get people coming in, they may not have that diagnosis or another diagnosis. So they're kind of looking at where do I start? So knowing everything that's been going on in 2020, where does someone start that says, okay, I'm coming in to see you. I'm getting this information. What, like, just like with our call, what do I do at home to make sure that my neck and my shoulders are, in the best possible place they can be till I get a chance to get into the office?
Absolutely. So if you're on your phone, especially on your phone, bringing that phone up to being eye level instead of craning your neck down to look at it in your lap, that's a huge thing. It may feel weird a little bit at the beginning because that's not something you're used to, but after a while, it'll just feel way more natural and it doesn't put a strain on your neck. Obviously, if you're on your laptop or on a desktop monitor, you want to try to bring it up to you. So again, it's more eye level, so you're not having to look down at your monitor. Another huge thing is take breaks. Oftentimes my patients say, I get so enthralled into work that I forget I need to take breaks and stretch. So I tell them, set a timer. As silly as that sounds, everyone's got some sort of way to set a timer, right? So set a timer every 30 minutes, every hour or so, get up, do a stretch. you know, you want to make sure you're opening up and stretching out like the chest muscles, because that's what usually gets tight and constricted. Obviously, we want to be able to strengthen those weaker muscles that are more on the back of your body, but at least at home, a quick, easy way is to at least stretch those tight muscles. And so, you know, set a timer. And then while you're setting a timer for stretching, set a timer for drinking water if you have to. Yes, I brought back drinking the water. It is super important.
If anything, people are going to be like, okay, yeah, I have to drink my water for neck and shoulder issues. Maybe the rest of it will come and fall in place. So we're going to be back in just a couple of moments for the end of the show. And Dr. Jerry Coward is going to be wrapping up what he's going to be talking about on the upcoming webinar on December the 2nd for neck and shoulder pain. Don't forget to call the office, 703-698-7117, to register, or register online at RoselleCare.com.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Ozell Live. We are talking about neck and shoulder pain, which is going to be the topic of this Wednesday, December the 2nd. Almost done the rest of the year and not quite the last one. I think we've got one more and two more weeks of lectures that are available for you. Of course, those lectures are free, and all you have to do is register to get the lecture sent to you. I'm looking forward to the day when we can do them back in the office, and essentially also try to, you know, answer the questions in person and try to get that information for you, because we like seeing your faces as well too. So in the meantime, we have the radio show, which you can always contact us with. Go to RoselleCare.com, RoselleCare.com, to register, about halfway down the page. And you can also see some of the other lectures that have been happening this week as well too. They're free, and you can bring up the audio and the visual with that. And then that's also where you're going to register for Dr. Coward's lecture this Wednesday night. Dr. Coward, what are you briefly going to be covering on neck and shoulder pain? Because there is so much to cover. What are you tending to focus on, and who should be signing up for the webinar?
Okay, so for anyone that you know that has that nagging neck or shoulder pain that basically refuses to go get it seen by anybody because they think it's going to go away, like we talked about at the very beginning, about 50% of those end up coming back at some point. So definitely bring those people to have, you know, listen to the lecture. But we're going to be talking about, you know, first some basic anatomy, because you got to be familiar with what's going on in your body so you know how it's being affected and how to treat it. We'll be talking about some common issues within the neck and shoulder that I'm sure everyone knows at least one person that has at least one of those things. And then also we're going to talk about natural treatments. How do we typically go through and treat it and make sure that we take care of that root cause of those issues and help it to make sure it doesn't come back? So that's what you can expect from my lecture that gets posted on Wednesday.
Sounds good. I think everybody definitely should, because like I said, we talked about neck, shoulder, tech pain and everything else. And when you basically, you know, think about it, we don't have all the ergonomic stuff that they put into the offices anymore. A lot of people will talk about how they just want to get back to their office so they can take their chair home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to kind of give them somewhere kind of in between in case that doesn't happen, and also kind of help to identify other issues, more metabolic ones that you might be covering in a lecture that, like we were talking about on our call, that, you know, are there issues with diabetes that might be affecting this? Is there issues with hydration, which we are stressing so much? But where else do we go with this? There's so many different places. So really neck shoulder strain is really just the start. And I feel like it covers, it goes well into what we've been talking about all year long. Some of the other topics all kind of mesh together, whether it's myofascial pain or chronic pain or immunology. You know, so you're tying it together at the end. So I'm sure everybody can't wait to sign up and register for your lecture on neck and shoulder pain. Is there any more that of your PSA on dehydration that we wanted to add in briefly in there?
Drink more water.
Drink more water.
That simple.
That's going to be the prereq to actually watching the show, is you have to prove that you drank water. Take a picture and send it onto our Facebook page or our Instagram page, so we know that you listened to the show, and then we'll know that we have someone out there that is drinking their water. Or tell everybody to listen to not only this show, but tell them to drink water too. So be the advocate and start educating not only with our show where you turn in every single Sunday, but you start advocating for water as well, too.
There you go.
And you can always add a little bit of sea salt in there as well, too, get those electrolytes to push it into the fluid. So, okay, coming back next week, Dr. Rizal should be back in doing the radio show, talking about some good stuff, whatever's new in the news, I'm sure. And we thank you for calling in, and hopefully we will see you.